bed. At supper time he looks for him, but sees his vacant chair. Funny how one person can leave so much empty space, and nothing else can fill the void but their sweet smiling face. Prodigal owns, and leaves him lying in a pig pen crying, there's just no place like home. Will his father forgive him after all he said and done? Going home to be a servant, he finds he's welcomed there. Shoes on his feet, he's been gone so long. My son has come home. Heaven sighed and heard the angels' song since he's been gone. 33 long years the cherubim stared at an end. But the time had come to be a man and do his father's will. And my salvation for his creation atop a Calvary's hill. All of heaven focused on a carefully guarded stone.
Children are dismissed to crash into Sunday school. Oh, that was good, John. Thank you very much. The rest of you, get your Bibles out. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. I will. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 5. As the Egyptians make their way to the Red Sea. Ephesians chapter 5. Got some scriptures to go to this morning. It's already been good to be together. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Gentlemen, I want to help you this morning. This is that area of area of the ministry that is the hardest because it's all about going against this world as a man. I got so much to say. I'm just going to have to stay with the plan because this is big. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, probably one of the most, we probably memorize it without wanting to. Most everybody knows this verse, but I want to help you understand it as I have tried to learn it. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25, if you will. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, I want to help you love your wife. I want to help you learn how to love your wife. And I call it the husband's blessing. Go also to Proverbs now. Two other scriptures, just by way of introduction. Middle of your Bible, find Psalms. Next book to the right from that will be Proverbs chapter 31. Okay, so a husband is commanded to love his wife. All right, well, what does that mean? What does that involve? How much does it cost is usually the thought. 50, 100 euros, 150 euros. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28. Speaking of the virtuous woman, speaking of a godly woman, it says this about her home. It says, her children arise up and call her what? Blessed. Her husband, what's the next word? All right, so it's not just for the kids to stand in awe and go, Mom, you're the greatest. It's also for Dad to say, you sure are. And he praiseth her. Go back to the left. Go a few more books to the left and find 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Chapter 16. Say it with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And verse 43. And an unusual verse, maybe you never noticed before. I like this verse. It happens several times in the Bible, where this word shows up. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 43. And all the people departed, every man to his house. This is David, and they brought the Ark of God to Jerusalem. They're rejoicing, they're thrilled, and all the people departed, every man to his house. And David returned to, what's the next word? Now, the blessing of the meeting came home where there was a blessing now at the home. He took the blessing and he brought it home. And he blessed his home. He blessed his wife. He blessed his children. Now, I want to learn how to bless this morning. Now I know Valentine's Day, gentlemen, are you with me? Is this Thursday? Nod your head, we're awake, amen? Valentine's Day is this Thursday, amen? Now that's kind of unique timing. But the secret, let me read some of it here. Somebody once said this, love is when you take away the feeling, take away the passion, take away the romance, and that you find that you still care for that person. Men fall in love with their eyes, and women fall in love with their ears. That was revelation. You better learn that young and early. Denzel Washington, he's a famous actor. I don't particularly promote. It's just what he says is very interesting, in little contrast with what I'm about to say. He said this in the New York Daily News. He said, here's the secret of a happy marriage. Like Hollywood can talk, you know. But he says, do whatever your wife tells you. Now, the secret to a happy marriage is found not in just obeying your wife. No, not in doing what your wife tells you. But is found in a man learning how to bless his home. Now, what does it mean to bless? Usually, when we think of blessing something, we think of it in the religious sense of consecrating, to sanctify, to make holy, to hallow something. And that's not what David did to his home. He didn't come into his home and sprinkle holy water all over the couch and the TV, okay? That's not how he blessed his home. To bless means to benefit, to make the other person happy. Remember when Jacob was there wrestling with the angel of the Lord there in his tent that night before he faced 400 men, an army led by his older brother who were out to kill him? Before he met that battle head on, he wrestled with the Lord, and the Lord, the angel of the Lord says, it's coming day, I got to go. And the Lord says, not until you bless me. Jacob needed God's blessing, amen? Brother Joseph quoted for us about a man named Jabez. There in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. You're in 1 Chronicles, just go back there. Look in chapter 4 and verse 10. Jacob desperately needed God's blessing. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. Now, Jabez is born probably in a sad situation, but Jabez learns to pray. And he says this, chapter 4 and verse 10, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." What is he deciding? He's hungering for God's blessings. "And enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. But Jabez hungered for the blessing of God. I want to open your eyes to the fact that your family deserves your blessing. Your family, my family, deserves my benefit to them. The Bible word there is benevolence. Our givingness towards them, even to our loss. That is what Jesus Christ taught us, gentlemen. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and lost everything in order to gain it. Now, what if, there's always great what ifs, what if we men actually learn how to bless our wives? What if we actually learn that? Ladies, just perk up here, okay? I'm going to help you now, amen? We know how to bless our own lives, amen? We know how to look after our needs. We know how to look for ourselves. Can we actually get to the place where we also meet the needs of our home and of our family? Now, that's the goal of our message today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, open our eyes. But more than that, break our wills. Make us flexible, yielded, and open to change for our family's sake and for your name's sake. You put everything on the line when you came into our world, and it cost you everything. It was not easy, and you're not asking us to do something easy. But it must be done. It can be done by your grace. Lord, teach us how to bless our homes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, by way of background, I said this last week, and let me just run through it again. Everybody needs three homes, amen? Three homes. What are they? The first one is a heavenly home, amen? Everybody needs to know that they've got a home in heaven. Jesus said to his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you," amen? He promised that there is a home in heaven if you want it. Somebody says, "Well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible, and I just think God just lets us all into heaven." You know, it's one of the strangest things. They pick and choose what they like to believe and what they don't like to believe. You know what God, Jesus says? It's only for those who really want it. It's only for those who really want it. I want it. Amen. I've read about it. I can't wait to get there. Amen. That place called heaven is worth it all. And I didn't have to pay a penny. I didn't have to do anything to earn it. Amen? It's a gift from God. What most people don't realize is the reason why they go to hell is because they reject the gift. Not because they're a bad person. Not because they did anything very bad. But because they never got the ticket. Therefore, they never get the ride. They never get on the train. You need a second home, and that's a church home. Nobody is complete without being saved and on the way to heaven. And nobody is complete without having a good, solid church that they call family. And nobody's complete without a Christian home. Now, a lot of people have to struggle with a home that may not be very Christian, may not have somebody saved in it, but isn't it your heart's desire to have a Christian home? And I believe God honors that. Just like you have a desire for souls to get saved, you ought to have a desire for your family to be saved. So, everyone needs those three homes and needs to be right with those three homes. And thankfully, Jesus Christ makes it possible for us to be right with all three homes. Now, how to bless your home, gentlemen. Go to Genesis chapter 29, and while you're on there, let me show you how not to be a blessing to your wife. Okay? Not like this. Alright? I think that's her honeymoon. I don't know. What do you think? It's amazing what you find men doing, amen? Goodness gracious. She's a tough woman, amen? I think she just run them out there just to dump them, amen? I lost him, officer. I just don't know where he went. All right, now, Genesis chapter 29 in your Bible. I want to tell you, if you want to bless your wives, gentlemen, if you want to bless your home, the first thing you must do, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Let me talk to you about having a first love towards your wife. Let me show you something. Your Bible is the most amazing book. I'm probably going to shock you with some things this morning. And that's good. You need to be woke up. I didn't know we could talk about such things in the church. Yeah, as soon as you get out of here, you turn on that radio and everything's talked about. It's time that we talked about truth here, amen? So it puts the rest of the world in perspective. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 9. Have first love towards your wife. Let me show you what that means. Looking here at a young man named Jacob. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 9. While he yet spake with them... Music plays. Camera swoons in. Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near, look at this, and he rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. What are you looking at? You're looking at a young man eyeing this gorgeous girl coming. She's leading these sheep down. The well has got a rock covering it. And what does he do? He goes like this. You're watching Rachel. Go ahead. I'll just stand here and look great. You know. This is Jacob. He is in love. Amen. Verse 11. And Jacob, while she's not even watching, he comes along and he steals a kiss. The best movies haven't been written yet. He kissed Rachel and he lifted up his voice and he wept. This guy is thrilled with his find. And Jacob told Rachel that he was his father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and he embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. What are you looking at? Now, you're looking at the kind of love you had for your wife at first. It doesn't mean that she is your first love. No. You see, many a man's made the mistake, and many a woman's made the mistake, of making their husband their first love. And guess what? You get tired of it real quick. And many a man, many a woman, has found out that her legs are feet of clay. His legs are feet of clay. And when you make that person your God and your focus of worship and your first love, it falls out real quick. Amen? What I'm saying is, have the love for her that you had when you first met her. Amen? Okay, so it was blind love. But that's okay. Look at Jacob here. Jacob knows he needs a wife. So he's been sent to go find a wife among his own people. And he falls in love with this lady at first sight. Somebody says, can you fall in love at first sight? A lot of people do. Amen. He runs over and shows how strong he is. He steals this kick and this kiss. Steals a kick. I don't know, maybe he needs that. And then he cries with delight at this treasure. Hey, when you thought you were so in love, you know what you thought of that woman? You thought she was worth dying for. You would do anything to get her. Amen? He falls, even more important, look there in verse 12. He falls in love with her family. Many a man has a trouble with that part. He's running up, hugging her daddy and uncle and hugging everybody. He says, Mamma mia, this is a family, man. He's in love with this family of hers. Look at verse 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, now Laban is not a nice guy, okay? But watch, Laban says unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? What's he first thinking of? I'm going to hire you, and should you be only paid nothing? What a way to talk, all right? Since we're family, I don't have to pay you. Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed. But Rachel, she was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I'll serve thee 7 years. Gentlemen, do you... Now, ladies, now write these words down. You love me that much? I'll serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should just give her to another man. This guy's a businessman. That's all he is. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days for the love he had for her. Is that amazing? Just to marry her, he's willing to wait 7 years. How long are you willing to wait for the right guy? How long are you willing to wait for the right girl? Jacob, you know, you read along, Jacob never complained once while courting her. He actually says right there, he thought it was but a few days. He wasn't going, man, this is taking forever. No, he said, my, how the time, it's been 6 years, the time is flying. Can't wait for next year. This guy was in love. What was it like when you first fell in love? If you did. Some of you are pathetic, I know. You're crying through this whole message. But for many, it was a long string of bad relationships. Amen. But if you think back hard, gentlemen, there was love. There was a time where there was selflessness. There was only an attitude of giving. There was an attitude of you rush to get ahead to open the door. Now it's... Sorry when you were there, you know. Got your back. You know, there was a time when you were a blessing to that woman in your life. You could talk for hours, or rather she could. You would walk for hours, and you thought about each other throughout the day. Amen? That's what a marriage needs every day. You know, that's how you bless your wife, folks, by loving her like you did when you first fell in love. And it is humbling. You know, you probably will have to bow the knee and admit you have grown cold and hard and demanding and bitter if you're going to get back to that place. Are you listening? But that is where the embers of love return, is in that bended knee, gentlemen. As long as you stand there like a rock, I am not bending. As long as you stand there and you wonder, why is she so cold? You know, a real man begins to bless his home once again when he does have the courage to bend his knee and say, I'm sorry. And show that love like he did when you first fell in love. Amen. The second kind of input I want to have in your head, not only have the first love, but have a fun love. Now go to Proverbs chapter 5. In verse 18 now. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18. Now don't you get upset at me. It's like I'm going to preach and I'm going to say what the book says. Amen? Amen? This is the Bible Baptist Church, by the way. Amen? Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18. Your Bible says this. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Notice, you know, he says rejoice with your wife, amen? I've seen plenty of guys rejoice with their buddies, amen? I mean, you put a World Cup on, or, you know, Six Nations, and you put, you know, Wimbledon on, and the guys come over, and there's rejoicing in there, amen? We know how to rejoice. We just don't know how to do with a wife. It says right there, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. The two of you need to have some fun. Verse 19, it says, let her be as the loving hind that and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee. How often? How should a man ever be disturbed and be deterred from his wife if with this world and the way, folks, it is just flagrant. Flagrant? That's not the word. It's just out in the open. I can't even think of the right word. It is absolutely obnoxious, just... Huh? Blatant, yes, is the other word. But there's another word I was trying to think of. It is in our face. And folks, listen, that Bible says you better have fun with what God gave you. And this thing of the world tries to show you there's more fun out there, there is not. There is cursing, damnation, there is destruction. Just like people thinking there's more fun in a bottle, there is not. It is a curse. There's not a fun with the strange woman, there is fun with your wife.
Amen.
It says, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou, what's the next word? Ravished always with whose love? Now that's Bible, man. That's Bible. Always with her love. You know, look at Song of Solomon. I'll show you. To the right, a few more pages here. See, the world looked to Christians and said, do you guys have any fun? You know what most Christians said? No. We don't have any fun. We never can do anything. So the world moved ahead. And I got news for you. You know what the world needs to see? They need to see some happy Christians. They really need to see some blessed homes where mom and dad are thrilled with each other. Let me show you how to listen. It means, if you're going to have fun love with your wife, it means to bless her, hello? To benefit her. Don't just take from her. Listen, gentlemen, let's see. Let me pick somebody. All right, Leo. Leo, if your wife just came in and took your money, she does, I know, and put it all in, all except a few bob, and if she put it all into her account, left you a few bob, and then spent it as she saw fit, I know she probably does that already, I know. If your wife just came and went as she pleased, if your wife just demanded of you to fix her food, to iron her clothes, and wash her clothes, and keep a tidy house, and never helped you, how long would you stay happily married? I got so much to say. When do we ever take an idea of what it'd be like to be in the other person's shoes? Amen? I don't want to effeminize a man and make him into the housekeeper. That's not the point. But how many times do we sit there and just go, what'd you do all day? You know? And we get this idea that, you know, if we ever just put our feet in their shoes and let her treat us like we treat her, we'd punch her. Really, what we want to do is punch ourselves. Because we're rude to our wives. You know, to bless your wife, to rejoice with your wife, means that you benefit her. Every home needs fun. You know, look at Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 1. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes. Is that cute or what? That's the man looking at his wife. He actually notices his wife went and bought some shoes. Man, how gorgeous are your feet with shoes. I think my wife's gorgeous without shoes, but I like both of them, amen? Oh, prince's daughter, the joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanted not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat. Now, don't say that because she won't understand what you mean. Set about with lilies. But if you're a farmer, you could be thrilled with that verse, and she would be too. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes are like fish pools in Hezron. There you go, Brother Dennis. He looks into his wife's eyes and he goes, I just want to go fishing. But what he means is, they are so deep and so blue and so clear. He's looking at them like a fisherman looks into the rivers or into a pool where the fish go, and he's watching for those fish, and his eyes are deep in that water, and that's how he looks deep into his wife's eyes. That's a pretty good way to look at your wife, amen? By the gate of Beth Rabban, thy nose... Now, when was the last time you talked about your wife's nose, man? Thy nose is as the Tower of Lebanon. I know, you guys are lost now. You may have to retranslate a bit of this. But the idea is, this woman's got character. When she stands upright, her nose is not like this. Her nose is straight on. She's got character. She's a strong woman. Which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel. Mount Carmel. And the hair of thine head like purple. Again, these people have black hair. But he said, but you've got color. He's noticing shades of color in her hair. The king is held in the galleries. Look at this. The king is Solomon writing a little love note to his wife, and he says, I noticed you. I looked at you. And as I wrote these things down, it's like somebody coming into an art gallery and just looking at pictures of his wife from every angle. He's like, wow, I am held. I'm locked. I am bound in the galleries. I love just looking at you. This is awesome, folks. You need to notice some things about your wife. You need to express some things to your wife. You need to make her day. I read about this. You need to get some little cards and just write something about her neck. Your neck is like the tower of your nose. And then put it somewhere. So while she's cleaning, she opens it up and there's a little heart with some words on it about how beautiful she is. That will bless her month. Amen? You know what Solomon's doing? He's taking the time to bless his wife. Amen? He could just say, well, she ought to know I love her. She ought to know, you know? Maybe she doesn't know. Don't rush through the day leaving her alone just with the kids, man. Rejoice with her. Most men enjoy the movies, they enjoy the games, they enjoy their friends, but they don't enjoy the wife of their youth. And I think it's strange, I think it's wrong, I think it needs to change. Bless her by having fun with her, man. You know what that means? You're not going to like this. Find out what she likes to do and then do it. Now, I'm sorry, that means shopping. How is she going to get shoes, amen? For you to go, man, your feet with shoes are gorgeous. Maybe it's cleaning up the garden together. You know, find out what she likes to do, amen? Don't you like it when your wife just snuggles up and says, you know, what do you want to do? I mean, but when was the last time you just snuggle up and say, what do you want to do? Except shopping. Except cleaning. Except, you know, no, I can't put the conditions on there. Bless your home, man. Bless your home. Don't you women wish you had this thing engraved in stone? God is not talking about doing it 24/7. Sorry, you can't do it. You got to work a job. You got a ministry of the Lord. You got things to do. But when you're with your wife, you need to make every hour, every moment count. Third way to bless your home. Have faithful love towards your wife. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In verse 44, Matthew 5 and verse 44. You're not gonna, don't misunderstand this verse, but I do want you to apply it. Your wife is not your enemy, amen? But gentlemen, watch this verse. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Watch these words. Bless them that what? Where's your wife? When was the last time your wife looked at you and went, and pull a fork out, amen? Now, how do you treat her? The Bible says, look what he says. We're talking about blessing our home, aren't we? The point here is, bless your wife even when it's not easy to. Don't only love her when it's easy to and beneficial for yourself, but also bless her when it is hard and basically impossible to please her. Gentlemen, nod your head. Realize what I'm talking about. Stay in love and stay the course. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. To the right. Romans chapter 12. This month we're talking about the family. Today it's hit the dads. Hit the husbands. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. I think I told you about the husband and wife arguing. And husband said, I just don't understand how come you don't get mad at me. She says, don't need to. She says, every time we get in an argument, you just smile and boy, and all, we get over it. And how do you stay so calm? Oh, I just take out my frustrations another way. Well, how do you do that? Well, I clean the toilet. So, with your toothbrush. That's not what we're talking about. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, gentlemen. Your wife may be using your toothbrush. How should you react? Bless and curse not. What are we talking about, gentlemen? You're the stronger vessel. Good night, grow up, and be man enough not to fight back. Amen. When I was growing up, we were taught not to hit women. Amen. When we were taught, when we were growing up, I know some women that are three times the size of their husbands. You don't have to marry a weaker of the vessel, but you ought to treat her like the weaker of the vessel. And when you get into an argument, don't go so far as to treat her like another guy. That's the point. When she persecutes you, when she is willing to poison you and trying to just get angry at you and is cursing you or whatever, you know what I'm talking about. How do we react? If we want to bless our home, we stay faithful. Gentlemen, be a man. You may need to humble yourself and just shut your mouth. 1 Corinthians 4:12. Go to the right, 1 Corinthians 4:12. Now, I know this is talking about our normal enemies, but is it not true that sometimes the fight comes home? And it's time that we, gentlemen, stop. 1 Corinthians 4:12 is in labor, working with our own hands. Hey, being reviled, being yelled at, we what? You know, I don't know. Every time is different. But next time your wife's yelling at you, find something to bless her with. Maybe it might just be a blessing to take it. Because I've noticed in my own life, 99 times out of 100, she's right. Gentlemen, you do not want to nod at that one. You know it's true. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Folks, not only when it's easy and beneficial for yourself, you know, it's easy to love knowing that you're going to be loved back. It is infinitely harder to love when you know somebody's going to turn around and curse you. Do it when it's hard and basically impossible to please her. And no bitterness is allowed. I never quite liked this verse. Go to Colossians, amen. Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19. There's a great story there in the Bible about a man named David. And young David has become king and he comes home and his bride, his wife, Micah, is mad at him. And you know what's amazing about that thing? When Micah is all put off about how David has humiliated himself and basically humiliated her because he was out just putting on a great show, rejoicing over the ark coming into Jerusalem, and he's dancing and jumping up and down and shouting and praising God more than anybody else. And so he's standing out and everybody's going, is that how a king should act? And he comes home and Micah gives out to him. You know what David does? David gives out back to her, and he violates something. Now, it wasn't a rule back in the Old Testament, but it's a rule now. Look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. And he got bitter. He got mad at her, and he says, that's it. You heard about the man riding on the carriage with his wife a long time ago. The old mule out there in the front. And the mule stumbles, and he goes, that's one. Gee, what are you talking about? Never mind, woman. Riding along. And the mule stumbles again. That's two. She goes, what are you doing? It's all right. All right, I'm under control here. And the mule stumbles one more time. He pulls out his gun and... She goes livid and starts, what are you doing? You just shot a mule. That's one. You know, we have a very short fuse. And you cannot control what the other person's saying and doing to you, gentlemen, but you can control how you react. And your reaction to your wife when she is mad at you and angry or anything, you're not allowed to be bitter. Now, it's not. Now, let me just say the opposite side. I can't preach both sides, but I will help deal with this another day. But she shouldn't be bitter at you either. But we can't deal with that right now. I'm dealing with us. Amen? And the commandment is, don't let her put you off where you're going to hurt her. There is no tit for tat. There is no revenge in God's kingdom. Amen? So, no bitterness allowed. Do you know, you need to bless in more than just words. Look at Psalm 62 real quick. I have a few things to say. Ooh. Psalm 62. You know, people pay good money for what you're getting here today. Amen? Psalm 62. And verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. Oh, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. You know, blessing is more than just words. It is actions. And it's actually consistent actions. Go to 1 Peter and let's look at some critical actions that a husband needs to incorporate into his relationship with his wife. 1 Peter, after the book of Hebrews in your New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. He says six or seven things here. He says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. She may not be the weaker vessel, but treat her like the weaker vessel. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Just a couple of things real quick. He says, dwell with your wife. That's always bothered me because I haven't fully understood it. But I know how to dwell with my buddies. I know how to get close to them. I know how to just feel at home with them. And when it says, dwell with your wife, it means feel at home with her. Let her know you are at home with her. Amen. More people are at home with their PlayStation. More people are at home with their newspaper. More people are at home with their television, Sky, and every other person that's out there than they are with their wife. You know, you do not want to give her the idea that you only want to be home when she's cooking and you're eating. You don't want to give her the idea that you only want to be home because you need your clothes washed. You need to dwell with them, meaning you need to be beside them as much as possible. Just loving to be with them. Dwell with your wife. Second thing, he says, get to know your wife. According to knowledge, not according to ignorance. You know, we're brain dead until we're about 18, 19, 20 years old. Amen? We are pure 100% ignorant of what we're doing. And yet that's time we get married, isn't it? And people say, well, I'm 28 and I'm going to get married when I'm 30. You know, you're wasted. You've gone too far. There's more fun in starting off ignorant with the desire to learn than to be stuck in a rut and trying to figure out how to change and go back to that. Get to know your wife and always have this desire to get to know her better than you currently do. You know, God made men easy to figure out, didn't He? Amen? And God made women impossible to understand. But He did that on a, He created a mystery, and men love mysteries. Men will sit there walking along and they'll see a hole in a mountain up there and they go, I wonder what's in there. Have I got time? That's a man. Amen? That's a man. And when he meets a woman and she glances and she goes on and he goes, did she like what she saw? She gonna look again? And that mystery, he goes, I gotta go see this woman. I gotta go find out what she's like. I wanna explore. I wanna discover. And that is what it means to get to know your wife. There is something inside of men that says, I wanna climb a mountain. I wanna dig a hole. I wanna build the biggest building. I wanna do something great. Well, you know what? God gave you this wife and said, explore, discover, build. Right there. Get to know your wife. Honor her according to honor. Probably the most lacking area of a man's marriage is in his honor. To honor his wife is to prefer her above all others. His practical ways to honor your wife involves listening to her. You know what that means? Letting her say whatever she wants, man. And not disagreeing until maybe the right time. But that's honoring to her. And don't you like it when somebody lets you, you know, say it all the way through? I hate it when I'm in the middle of a sentence and I'm interrupted.
but I'll do it just as quick to somebody else. Amen? Listen to her. Be gentle towards her. Don't treat her as one of the guys. I think one of the things that was revelation a couple years after we got married, we never had an argument. We had disagreements. Anyway, we were having one of those disagreements. My wife looked at me and we were and then she said, "I am not a guy." And I went, "You're right." The light goes on. I was treating her like another man. Wow. And it was wrong. You know, you need to praise your wife in private and in public. That's how you honor your wife. Lift her up. She needs to know that you do it in private and not only in public. She needs you to praise her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. That's a big way of honoring your wife. When was the last time you just said, "That's my wife. Let me introduce you to my wife. This woman wants to live with me." Amen. Inherit things together with your wife. You know, your children are the grace of life. Inherit them together. That child is not for your wife to raise. Amen. Inherit things together. Did you know you had children together? You need to raise them together. Amen. Inherit those things and realize the things that you have, I'll be real plain with you, you may not have nothing. You may not have, you know how they invented copper wire, don't you? Two guys fighting over a penny. You may not have two pennies to rub together. But you and your wife ought to look at those two pennies and go, "God gave us those things. Whatever I have, every good gift and every perfect gift came from my Father above." Amen? So when I start to see things in my life, I need to look at my wife and say, "God's good," and inherit them together. Realize God gave them to us. And then lastly, pray with your wife. Let your prayers be not hindered. This is very humiliating. And I can't emphasize this enough. This is where you can bow your knee with your wife and humbly plead with God to supply what you cannot. And you beg God to make you a better husband and a better dad and a better man, just like Christ. Now, I know most messages about men is you need to be better here, you need to be better there, you need to do that. But let me just tell you, there's something humbling about going to God in prayer and saying, "Lord, that's right. I have a clue how to do it. I haven't the strength for it, but I know it's got to be done." You know, that'll bless your wife when she hears you talk to God that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Have following love with your wife. That's not... Now listen, I'm going to say something about men. You do not follow your wife, gentlemen. Last time I saw, in a wedding ceremony, the husband was out up at the front first, amen, or the husband-to-be, amen, and the wife came in second, came in last. The point, not that she's last, but she's following her husband's lead. The problem is, after that day, he's sitting on the couch and she's working her tail off for the rest of her life. And he's had to be called 15 times to come and hoover or come and clean up or come and eat. There is something about having a leadership role, but he has to first be a follower himself. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. "Be ye," Paul is speaking, "followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul says this, and he's speaking to Christians. He says, you need to follow me as I follow Christ. That's a real man. You know, a real man comes along and leaves his home and says, "Follow me as I'm also a follower of Jesus Christ." Folks, have following love with your wife, which means this: be the first in your home to love God. I mean, they ought to know Daddy loves God. That ought to be the example. It's not going to be a perfect example. Nobody needs a perfect example. I already got one. Amen? I've got Jesus Christ. You do not have to impress me to be like Jesus Christ and to be equal to Jesus Christ. You just need to encourage me. Amen? You need to encourage your wife. You need to encourage your kids. They need to look to Christ. But it's nice to have a real, living, human, warm-blooded body there going, "Hey, they're trying." And you know, you'll follow somebody who's at least trying, amen? Here, leave your home. Don't follow your wife, let her follow you. Let me show you an example. Hey, Nita, come here for a second. Come on, we might kiss. You know, Nita, I want you to show us how most ladies handle church and the Bible. So I need you to go ahead and I need you to drag me ahead. Go ahead.
I got to go to church with my wife. Oh.
I don't want to go. Isn't that how most men get dragged to church? Amen. And I told you, you ought to drag them to church. Amen. But after a while, if they're in preaching enough, you know what will happen? Now, it's impossible to be like this. Come on, sweetheart. We'll go together, won't we? You know? It's impossible to be like this. There are some times when she's not going to want to go and do right. There's sometimes, but if you were a real man, hold on, I know I'm embarrassing you, but I'll make it up to you. Amen. All right, now, you know how you need to lead your family like this. Come on, sweetheart. Come on. Let's keep going. And you know what? She'll catch up with you. Amen. She'll catch up with you. And the Bible says, lead your home. I needed a woman to do that. I couldn't do it with any other woman. Amen. Look. Let her follow you hand in hand with you leading. You know, be the first to love God in your home. 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon started off, you know what it said? He loved the Lord. He said he loved God. And it was permeated through his relationship. He walked in the Word of the Lord. He was learning it himself. He sat down there instead of reading a paper, instead of reading a comic book, instead of reading or watching the television. He had his Bible there while he was eating his breakfast. Yes, he was probably rushing to get to work. Yes, he had a full day. But he needed to be in God's Word because he needed his wife to have a leader in his home. You may not know much, but you ought to be an example in some way. You know, old Pharaoh was an example, wasn't he? What God will do to a man who rebels. I don't think I want to be that example. I want to be an example of somebody who at least tries. Walking in the Word, willfully giving, not grudgingly giving. Show your love for God and passionately praying. You know, again, I don't have all the time to go through it, but when Solomon went and prayed, God said, what do you want, Solomon? Solomon says, I don't know how to lead these people. Would you give me an understanding heart? The Lord said, sure will. You know, Solomon prayed from his heart, and it wasn't a set prayer. He didn't pull out a prayer book and go, oh, there's a good prayer to pray. No, he just prayed from his heart. He knew what he needed, and he asked God for it, and he depended on God for it. Lead your family with that kind of life. Did you know there's no other way to love? There's no other way to love God than to just walk with Him throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your life. If you fail in loving God and being the first to love God in your home, failing here, you will fail everywhere. Secondly, you need to be the first to serve God. Now, don't get married only for yourself. Get married to better serve God. John, find a wife who will help you serve God. Gina, find a guy who will help you serve God. The two of you. Guys, girls, Joshua, I know girls are yucky right now. I know. But one of these days that yuck turns to what happened, amen? Find a girl that will help you serve God. You see, this thing, following love, she wants and any real woman wants a man for a husband and wants a man who wants to do great things. You know what Solomon wanted to do? He said, I want to build the best, the biggest temple ever. And you know what? His wife was thrilled with this guy who had a project he was doing, not for his own glory. Now, ultimately, it did turn around to where he got to thinking, well, I can build something bigger for myself. And he did get caught up in himself. But at the first, his desire was to build something great for God. And there's not a woman who lives who wouldn't be impressed with a guy who wanted to build something for God. Wanted to do something for God. That's why the Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever business you're in, give it all you got for God. Let your light so shine before men. Don't hide your relationship with the Lord. You need on that job to put it all out for His glory. And it says they'll see your good works and they'll honor your Father in heaven. If your family thinks you hate your job and only hears you complain and talk bad about other people, it'll ruin them. Do something big for God. Catch a glimpse of something great to accomplish for God's glory. Explore and conquer impossible mountains. You know, if any of you ever got to play professional rugby, is there a thing called professional rugby yet, or is it still unpaid? There's professional rugby players, aren't there? All right. If you ever had the chance to play professional rugby,
yeah.
If you ever had the chance, do it for God, not for the money. If you ever got into medicine, find a cure for the glory of God. Help people for the glory of God, man. Build the tallest building in the world. And then on the cornerstone, dedicate it to Jesus Christ. Amen. Design a better mousetrap. I could care less. Just do it for the glory of God. Amen. Do you know the reason why so many men are depressed? I can understand a woman being depressed. I don't understand men being depressed. Really, okay? If you get depressed, get out of it, amen, fast. Because we're not made for that. But the reason why we get depressed is because they do absolutely nothing of eternal value. If you have sat and spent 8 hours on a Saturday in front of a television, and then you get up, you know what you're going to feel like? Dirt. You're going to feel like a noodle. Amen. We were designed with greatness installed. And yet we're knocked around until almost all men drink and they run and they lie and they hide from their problems in pubs. What happened? The men didn't start off that way. Something got fed into their little computer here that said, there's nothing to do. Oh yeah, there is. Whew. Lead your wife. Do something where your wife goes, what a hunk. Amen. What a man. Then lastly, have fighting love for your wife. Look at Psalm 144. This is two more verses. Psalm 144 and we're through. Psalm 144 in verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to be soft. No. There's a time to be soft, but not according to this verse. That teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Now I'm asking you to have, if you want to bless your home and bless your wife, have a fighting love, not with your wife. Your word is not in there, do you understand? For your wife. God doesn't teach you how to fight your wife in that book, amen? 10 easy ways to defeat your wife. All right, where's that page, amen? Did you know every woman loves to be fought over? And there are no exceptions. There are none. I don't care if you're the worst feminist. She'd like to have a scrap, somebody fighting over her. It's in her. And folks, gentlemen, listen. You need to learn how to fight for your wife. Fight for what you have before you lose it. There is a sin today in our homes with such arguing, with such fighting, with the anger, the bitterness, such hatred and wrath and hurt and unforgiveness and vengefulness, folks. There is a fight in the home that is not of God. And all of that is like a cancer that is ravaging our home life. Every fight weakens the home. Would you agree with that? Every time I come to a wall, if I had the strength and I begin to beat on that wall, if I hit that wall, 2 times a day, for 300 days, you tell me what's going to happen with that wall. You've never seen it, maybe never noticed it, but you ever seen a drip of water dropping and is running on concrete? And after a few years, there's a hole there. A little drop of water makes a hole. You may not understand, but our argument's a whole lot stronger than just a little drop of water. We create holes in our homes. We create such fractures and cracks in our relationships, and we wonder, why is it falling apart? It's like a cancer that is ravaging our home life. You know, if you found out that you had cancer, Would you feed it and accelerate it? You would aggressively fight it. You would get chemotherapy.
No, hold on there. Go back.
You would get chemotherapy, radiation therapy. You would have drastic diet changes. You know, people with cancer, it always radically changes their way of living because they want to live. Amen? Oh, I wish we wanted our families. Fight for your wife, gentlemen. Fight for her in prayer, passionate prayer, and confession before God. Fight for her in humility before your wife. You know, the hardest thing to do, gentlemen, is to humble ourselves before our wife. You know why? Because she can see whether you mean it. You can say, I'm sorry to somebody else, and they may not know. Your wife knows. Your wife knows. Fight for your wife in humility. And fight. Look at James chapter 4. Last verse. James chapter 4. You're going to have to realize there is one being in this universe that so wants you to turn off this message and ignore what is being said right now. There is somebody, and his name is Satan. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 7. But you know what? There is this second most powerful being in the universe knows every way to break and destroy a home. He knows how to turn a woman against her husband and turn a man against his wife. He knows how to do it. But I got a verse for him. Look at Philippians, if we're willing to fight. James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh, that hell knew that there was a man in Ballincollig, there was a man in Carrigaline, there was a man in Cork, there was a man in Kilnamartyr, there was a man in... where else do we live? Amen? There's a man here who was going to fight and resist and going to win. Fight before we lose it. Fight for your wife. Have that kind of a love, a fighting love. Just real quick, conclusion. How to bless your home? Have first love towards your wife, man. Have the love that you had at the first and bring it back and keep it fresh. Have fun love with your wife. I mean, a lot of guys think sitting in there in front of the television, you know, holding on the remote, isn't this fun, sweetheart? Having a great time, huh? I'm having a great time. Don't you just love me? Have fun with your wife. Have faithful love towards your wife. I mean, your wife, hey, I'm sorry to break the taboo, but women go up and down, left and right. Men should not stay the course. That doesn't mean that you don't have compassion. That does mean that you just keep in love with her. Amen. She reviles, don't you revile back. Amen. Have following love with your wife. You know why most marriages break up? Because one of them had a problem, and then the second one agreed. Amen? It only takes one faithful person to hold a marriage together. Now, it shouldn't stay that way. Have following love with your wife. That's how you lead, gentlemen. You lead not by demanding, but by following your Lord. Have fighting love for your wife, and you learn it all from Jesus Christ's love for you. Did He not fight for you? Didn't He love you when we shook our fist at Him and said, I don't want you. I'm not interested in you. I don't like religion. I don't want God. I don't believe in a God who sent anybody to hell. And yet He kept sending somebody to give you the gospel. He kept loving you. Kept telling you that you need to get saved. And Jesus Christ loved you when you were unlovable. Amen. You know what He calls us? His bride. When's the last time you looked at your wife of 35 years and you said, my bride? You know, we're the bride of Christ and we'll always be the bride. We're never going to be an old woman with Jesus. We're always going to be His sweetest, freshest delight. You're married 48 years. Praise God. She's still your bride. Keep her that way. Learn it from Jesus Christ's love for you. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've got a good example to learn how to love our wives. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, just take this moment. We come before You asking You to wrap everything up in our thoughts and our minds. We've got a lot to think about, but we haven't thought about everything until we've taken a good look at Calvary, and we've seen the cross, and we've seen somebody die on that cross, and we realize that His death on the cross changed everything. When Adam and Eve fell, the home was broken. The next stop, their own son murdered. The home was broken, God. How would it get fixed? Only by Your intervention. Only by Your grace. We're born with that same Adamic nature. We're born messed up. We're born wrong. We needed to be born again. It's not through our church. It's not through a series of prayers. It's through surrender. It's through a brokenness that realizes we cannot fix ourselves. We need Jesus. Lord, many a man has looked at his life and said, I need a wife. Many a woman has realized, I need somebody else in my life. But they'll miss it if they only get married. Some women only just wish, if they only had a child, if they only had a baby, it would fix their life, and it won't work. Nothing in this world can fix the human heart and human soul. Only Jesus can. Jesus said, you must be born again. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Are you saved? Have you asked Jesus Christ particularly, specifically to save your soul? Not make you a better dad, not make you a better husband, but to make you a new creature. You need to be born again. If you're not saved, gentlemen, you can try all these things, you'll fall flat on your face, and you'll get so discouraged, you'll run. But if you want help, it starts with the new birth. It starts with the strength and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life by invitation. You've got to invite Him in. Gentlemen, if you're saved, maybe you've forgotten this. Marriage is honorable. Blessed by God. You obtained favor from the Lord the moment you got in love and you got married. When you marry that woman, God wants to help you. Will you let Him help you instead of trying to do it yourself? You will break such a treasure if you don't have God's help. Will you ask God right now to help you bless your wife? Father, I pray that You help me and all the men in this room who have an influence in their homes. Maybe they just have a son or a daughter. Maybe things have taken a bad turn. Maybe the wife's not there anymore. Oh, but they can influence the next generation. Don't let them lose their place in their home. They can and must. They've got to teach these things to the next generation. They've got to be a right example. They've got to realize this isn't for just the happily married. This is for everybody. This is what our generation needs. Let's take it serious and not just trudge it off and not make it wishful thinking. It's got to be fact in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab our hymnal, please. Grab our hymnals. We'll start. Just as I am. I didn't get there. Sorry. I'm not looking in the right place. What number? 249. Thank you. 249. Just as I am. The end of it is at the top of the next page. Sing with me, please.